What were the physical appearances of the schools around here, Alabama?
Well,
were they the one room schoolhouse?
No. There were some one and two and three room country school schools. But I went to the Arab school. We had a high school, and we had what we call in those days a grammar school. The high school housed what you'd call now the senior high and the junior high, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. In the grammar school, what you'd call now the elementary school, it had six rooms to it. Very, very meager facilities, but adequate in one sense of the word. We didn't have any air conditioning. We had a wood stove, and one boy a week was appointed to keep the fires going. The classes were not extra big, 20, 25. Wooden desk. We had blackboards, not chalkboards. Real blackboards with chalk, crayon. We had some facilities in the junior high for laboratory. We did have one or two microscopes and a few test tubes and so forth. Very meager equipment. But I never found that my experience here inhibited my further education. I was fortunate enough to have good math teachers here. I had no problem with math anywhere along the road. I was fortunate enough to have good English grammar literature teachers who taught us the English language, grammar included, and literature. And when I went to college, I had no problem writing themes. I don't know whether they do that anymore or not. Do they?
I think some places do. You don't see it that much anymore, though.
Well, we had to write a theme every week. I had no problem with college work.
You felt like you were prepared?
I felt like I was adequately prepared. Now, there may have been a difference. All of us, including my father, his people came. All of them were educated people for their day and time. My grandmother was the first woman in this wilderness here to have a college degree. Highly educated woman. My father's people were educated people. His grandfather was one of the founders of Emory University. He was a Methodist circuit rider in northern Georgia before the Civil War. So, I say that my parents talked and talked along educational lines.
Yeah.
We never had, our textbooks were never in any shape to be sold to somebody else. Coming along, we wore our textbooks out. When we'd get there was a family lived down the road from us that subscribed to the Saturday Evening Post, which came, I think, once a month. We'd give them a week or two to look at it, and we'd go down there and borrow that, and we'd devour the Saturday Evening Post like it was the Bible. We had a thirst. But our people, our parents taught us this.
Backing up a little bit, you said Alabama was predominantly agriculture. I know the Depression probably affected the industrial areas more, but it did hit Alabama hard.
Yes. Terribly so.
Could you elaborate?
We did not get out of the Depression until World War II came along, or let me preface that, until there was commencing the build-up of the armed forces, and that started in 1939. Roosevelt was wise enough. You see, there was an isolationist movement in the country that was a strong force, and Roosevelt fought a hard battle to get some semblance of readiness in the armed forces, and still we were not ready. But we never did get out of the Depression until the World War II came along. Now, things improved some, but not appreciably. And this leads me to believe that our economic problems are not solved by throwing money at them, because they didn't buy us out of the Depression.
Do you think that while Alabama and the nation was under the Depression, do you think more people turned to the church?
Decidedly so. Decidedly so. And in the war.
Mm-hmm.
Some columnists, I think, it was my favorite, you're too young to remember, Lippmann, you heard of him?
I've heard that name.
He was a great columnist. He and Henry Luce, who was editor of Time magazine for years and years, I read everything they wrote. I think it was Lippmann who said, "There are no atheists in foxholes." If he didn't say it, he should have said it. But in times of crisis, people ordinarily turn to something outside themselves. And this was a time of turning. People went to church. The armed forces went to church. Even over in the primitive jungle of New Guinea, when we got a chance, all of us, Jews, Catholics, Protestants, all of us went to church. And we didn't matter whether it was a Protestant or a Catholic or a Jew, we were there to pray.
Along these lines, you mentioned that everybody went to church together. In Alabama, when you were growing up, how were the minorities treated?
Well,
did it fall along the pattern
on this mountain, around here, there was no minority.
Yes.
Now, at Auburn, where we moved in 1935, there was some improvement, because it being a university setting,
mm-hmm.
It was nothing to brag about. We did have some interchange with the black community. The Baptist students held what we call Bible studies in the black churches, and we had joint worship occasionally, and the university had this interchange with Tuskegee Institute. But by far and large, the blacks were still the blacks of 1900.
Yes.
Out in the hinterland. Tuskegee helped a great deal there. Tuskegee University, Tuskegee Institute, it hadn't been given the credit it should have. They did a lot to help the white people see the error of their ways, and a lot to help the black people see that even though they were treated as a minority, second-class citizen, they could rise above that. I knew personally Dr. George W. Karp, the Negro Black Scientist,
yes.
Tuskegee Institute. He is a personal friend of mine. I love the old fellow dearly. Quaint little man. His voice never did change. He had a high-pitched voice. He wore his trousers always too short. Had a fresh flower in his lapel of his laboratory coat. Usually kept his false teeth in his pocket. Great man.
That's amazing.
Great man.
And in Iraq, it's hard to believe in Iraq. Iraq's an all-white community.
Yeah.
And
I think the reason there has never been any blacks on this mountain, there was no economic reason.
Yes.
When I was a kid, I never heard anybody say anything negative about blacks.
That's what I was thinking.
The people around here didn't know anything about blacks. They'd never associated with them.
Did,
and I never heard anybody say anything disparagingly about blacks since I've moved over here from Fort Worth. I met up with a black man at the shopping mall in Huntsville. I go over there, drive my wife over there, and just sit and talk with whomever comes by. There's a black fella came by, and I asked him to sit down there with me, and he asked me where I was from, and I said, well, I live at Arab. Man, I want to stay out of that town. And I said, why? There are no blacks over there. I said, that doesn't mean a thing in this world.
Nope.
You would be treated just as well over there, if not better, than you would be treated anywhere else. I've never heard a disparaging word among white people over here against blacks.
Do you think the church has had something to do with it? Do you think it was...
I don't know that it did. I don't know. I don't know what... How
did it affect your beliefs?
No, not a bit. Not a bit. My daddy was 30 years ahead of his time. He was a firm believer in democracy, and I've heard him say 1,000 times, the rule of democracy is that the majority has to rule. And he would lament the fact that Macon County, which is the next county adjacent to Auburn University County Lee, he would lament the fact that with all the educated people at Tuskegee, the blacks did not run Macon County or Tuskegee, the city. And my daddy would say, this is not right. Democracy cannot stand when a minority rules. And he said, someday, I won't live to see it, but someday the blacks will rule in places of leadership. And they did. My daddy was 30 years ahead of his time in race relations. I've never had any problem with racial prejudice. I don't guess now, you know, who's perfect in this. This is one of those things. I've never had a complex. Well, yeah, you have. We've all had a complex. How can you say you've never had prejudice? I try to be as free of it as possible. I've never had any problem that I know of.
Mm-hmm.